This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker, and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and I, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, you got satin shoes.
Well, this NBA China story is not going away. In fact, yesterday Woods talked about how Adam Silver was like holding his breath after his latest statement that the Chinese government and fans wouldn't basically overreact. They did.
Yeah.
They have escalated. And while the Lakers and Nets are now in China getting ready to play exhibition games, they've canceled TV coverage. They've canceled charity NBA Cares events for both teams that were supposed to benefit Special Olympics. Usually when an NBA team arrives, especially the Lakers and their superstars, there are throngs of people. It's like it's like the Beatles come to town and you've got fans lining the streets just to get a glimpse of the bus as they're driving from the airport.
It's massive.
They had like 10 people, like, and they would cover their face because they didn't want to be seen as being like Lakers fans when they arrived. It has this thing has gotten international, gigantic. And anytime we got a big sports story that kind of goes beyond sports, no one that we like to have better on the program joining us right now on Ben and Woods from USA Today, ABC News. Christine Brennan is with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Christine, it is great to have you on in San Diego this morning. Hello.
Well, hello, and Ben and Woods, thanks so much for having me. And yeah, we're in the midst of another kind of amazing story. We never would have foreseen this a week ago, would we?
Can you imagine that this all came about from one tweet that contained seven words from even a fringe member of the NBA? Yes, a general manager, but not a high-profile, famous. You know, it wasn't LeBron James who tweeted it. It wasn't another high-profile player or even a coach. It was a GM in Houston somewhere, and this all started from that. I find that almost unbelievable.
Right. And Daryl Morey is a name that, you know, is a basketball fan, you know, and smart guy and good person. And he did what I'm sure many, many millions of Americans would like to do, and that is send out support to those in Hong Kong who are protesting basically for democracy. And I think, you know, gosh, democracy, there's a concept. Yeah, I think we're for it. This is a no-brainer in this country. And, of course, it shows how fraught with trouble any relationship can be with China. And I've been very fortunate, guys, to go to China and cover events there. Vacation once after the Seoul Olympics with Tony Kornheiser, among others. A dear friend, Tony, a work colleague and neighbor. But Tony and I did Beijing back when it was bicycles and you know, dirt roads in 88 after the Seoul Olympics. And then I was there a couple times before the Olympics in Beijing in 08, and then covered the Beijing Olympics. I was there for almost a month. So I feel like I know China, and then actually the Women's World Cup, too. So now that I'm thinking about it. So I feel like I know China fairly well. And this is no surprise to me that they are reacting this way, because they do not believe in democracy, and they do not believe in freedom of speech, which, of course, is what Daryl Morey enjoyed, as we all do right now, even. And I never should take it for granted. And I've been saying this on some TV shows, CNN and what have you, and I'll say it again on your show. China needs the NBA way more than the NBA needs China. And I am so glad Adam Silver did what he did. It's certainly, I get, I'm not being Pollyanna here. I get the business. I get that it's billions of dollars. I get that. But I watched this happen with the International Olympic Committee guys, where back in 01, when the Olympic Committee picked the site for the 2008 Summer Olympics, and they picked Beijing, and right then and there, back in 01, they said, we're going to make them change, said the International Olympic Committee. And the Beijing organizers said, we will change. We will allow human rights. We will allow freedom of speech. That was a condition upon getting the Olympics. Well, of course, nothing of the sort happened. And Beijing kept being Beijing, and China kept being China. And they jailed dissidents. In fact, it got worse, not better. As the Olympics approached, they cleared out all kinds of dissidents and people who were protesting. And they shooed everybody away during the games, you know, mostly those wonderful scenes of having people watching big TV screens in Sydney or in Athens or Atlanta. Nope, none of that. Go home. So it got worse. The Olympics going to Beijing made it worse, and shame, shame, shame on the International Olympic Committee for not wielding that incredible power it had over China, because China so wanted, they craved the Olympics, and it didn't work, and the IOC blew it, the International Olympic Committee blew it. They should have done so much more. They should have held it hostage and said, hey, the Olympics are not coming here unless you do this. Didn't do that. So good for Silver to do it, and you know what? China loves its basketball. They're going to come crawling back here in some way, shape, or form. We all know it. There's not, those fans are going to miss it when it's not on their television screens, and this is going to be fascinating to watch it play out.
It's one of the crazier stories to come out in a while, and that's saying a lot. We're talking to Christine Brennan from USA Today. You know, and often doing the right thing is the hardest thing to do, and what Daryl Morey said, I think, in fact, is the right thing. It's the right moral human way to think. Obviously, though, things like that can take on a life of their own, as this has. It's hard for me, and this is just my opinion, when you see Adam Silver, and again, he was going over there anyway, but is there any part of you that feels that this is just damage control? You know, I mean, look, you're talking about a lot of money, and everybody that owns and runs a business, you want to do right by people, and you want to take care of people, but the bottom line speaks loudest. Is he going over there to save his own ass, basically, is what I'm asking?
Well, certainly they want to have business in China, and I'm a big proponent of capitalism and the opportunity to do business. My father was a very successful small businessman, and my family is full of business people, so I'm all for it. I get that. But, you know, we're all going to be dead in the next number of years, right? And this is how I live my life.
Yep.
And you give me 5 minutes or 3 minutes of this, I'm going to give you my best shot. You know, I'm not going to waste your time. And so I'm not going to waste our time here right now. come on, Adam Silver, the NBA is doing fine. It will be doing better with more money from China. Right. I totally predict they're going to have more money from China. China is not going to say, no, we will never watch the NBA again. The government might try to do that. I don't know. Would we see protests in the streets if they can't turn on their TV and see NBA games and later on this year? I don't know. I don't know where this goes. But we do know that 500 million people watched the NBA last year in China. Of course, you know, almost double, well, not quite double, but, you know, at least half again as much of the population in the entire United States. Every person in the U.S., 25, 30 million? 500 million in China watched the NBA. So now they're going to turn on their TV sets and they're going to go, oh, I can't watch the NBA, and that's going to be okay? That's where I think Silver wins. I think the NBA wins big time. But the government in China, make no mistake about it, they were keeping track of our comings and goings every day at the Beijing Olympics in 08. I had someone checking me in and out. I mean, I didn't do that. I just walked in and out of elevators, and they had little sheets, and they were checking our name. Fine with me. I don't care. I'm in a hallway of a hotel room. Now I'm coming back to the elevator. You know, I don't care. Whatever. But that's what they do in China. So make no mistake, this is a regime that is it's horrible, and that is repressive, and it is just has trampled the rights of its citizens. And we should say it from the loudest rooftop in the United States. As weird and strange and sometimes bad as things are right now or other times in our country, by God, we are so lucky to be here. And China is not. And so if Adam Silver can push that ball along to help and be a voice. Thank goodness that he did. And yeah, maybe he was trying to save, his reputation with owners. We get that. And Daryl Morey maybe wishes he hadn't tweeted, and that's his right to not tweet.
I've been there.
But he did, and here we are.
It's happened to the best of us.
Yeah. Christine.
Exactly. But we're here now, and it's a fascinating story. But again, the U.S. can be such a big company that based on the U.S. and our bedrock values in the U.S. should never, ever leave those companies.
Yep. Hey, Christine, I really appreciate it. I love the wisdom that you can drop. I feel a little more understanding of this issue. Always have welcome invitation onto the Ben and Woods Show here in San Diego. Thank you for your time.
Well, so nice of you to say thank you. It's an honor for me to be on. Have a great day. Thanks.
Christine Brennan, USA Today. So I've been kind of getting my mind around Joe Tsai's role.
Yeah.
In this whole issue. Obviously, he's a businessman with huge interests in China. He has way more to lose, I think, than even the typical NBA owner or Adam Silver or Daryl Morey or any player or single entity involved in this. And he's tried to kind of play a down the middle sort of explaining the viewpoints of the Chinese culture on it and saying, hey, this is a third rail issue. People in China view any attack on, Hong Kong is like an attack on them, that if you're supporting the protesters, then you are anti-China and you don't understand what the people think in this country. And I will defer to him in terms of understanding the mind of the Chinese citizen a lot better than I could. I have no experience on that. Unlike Christine, I've never been to China. I don't know a lot about the politics of China. But it does seem to me, Woods, that when you have a country that has a state-controlled media and only allows one viewpoint to get out there on television and newspapers to the citizenry, that when you say that it's a third rail issue for people in China, well, that's because the government has told them that it is.
Correct.
You don't have, a freedom of the press where you have all kinds of other people who are saying, hey, maybe we should be looking at these protesters in China. They've got a good point. No one's writing in China. You're picking up a newspaper in Beijing and saying, hey, this is an interesting viewpoint, and they've really explained what these Hong Kong protesters are really all about. They don't see that in China.
That's
all censored, and all they get is that these protesters are violent anarchists who are trying to overthrow all of the pride that we have in our country, and they're trying to destroy our way of life. But that's not the whole story. In fact, that is probably an incredibly distorted view of that story. So, when Joe Tsai sends out his letter, his open letter on Facebook, and says, hey, respect what the Chinese people believe here, and they believe this is a third rail issue, I don't know that I fully can, because
right.
I don't trust that the Chinese people are getting the whole story in their country. And just because they think it's a third rail issue, it's because they've been told that by their own government, that they're not allowed to have another opinion in that country. And so, to me, that argument doesn't hold a lot of water, that you can't just say, well, we've got to be more respectful of the Chinese. I don't know about that. I think you have to. I'm glad Adam Silver grew a little bit of a spine in the last couple of days and realized, all right, we can't really play this down the middle anymore, and we're going to take our lumps, and we're probably going to lose some business in China, at least for the time being.
Yeah.
But it sounds like he's resigned to that fact. And while they're still there and they're playing the games, he knows that it's going to go a lot worse for him here in this country if he tries to defend the Chinese perspective.
Oh, yeah.
Than simply what he has now decided to do, and that is fully support Daryl Morey's rights to tweet whatever the heck he wants to tweet about Hong Kong or anything else. And that's the right thing to do.
So should they have gone? Should they have gone? Should those teams be there right now in China?
I don't know. I mean, I think you're putting him in a really bad position. It might have fanned the flames even further if you, as the NBA, then canceled their trip over there.
But if you're going to
that would be viewed as a big insult. You might have been making the issue even a larger one in China if you did that. So, I think it's fine that they're there. It's fine that they are fulfilling their obligations, what they promised to do. Let the Chinese government be the bad guys here and say, hey, we're canceling the television broadcast.
Yeah,
we're canceling charity events that were going to benefit Special Olympics. If you really think that is the way to go, that that's going to make you win this debate, you know, then the NBA, I think, is actually doing the right thing here.
Well, you're taking a hardline stance, but then you're still, I guess you're just sticking to what you promised that you were going to do and abiding by your word. And I guess you can never really go, you know, if you stick to that, you're probably okay. And we're going to have to reevaluate further after this trip is over. But yeah, what a weird position for those players to be in right now.
All right, we got Don't Do This coming up next, Woodsy. I have yet another league threatening another city with relocation. It's one of the things that I can't stand, and we saw it again yesterday.
Oh, and we've got Art Briles in trouble already at a different level coming up next.
I'm Ben Woods. Right now, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Suda Vincent.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Why?
With Ben and Woods.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
Presented by Hamul Casino.
Be there or be square.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, before we get to our three stories to make you shake your head, don't forget, coming up later this hour, we will announce today's biggest fan. If you hear your name and call us back, you could be entered into our grand prize drawing. Trip to Vegas with show tickets all over the place. We'll tell you about them in a little bit. You also have some weekend fest passes to the San Diego International Film Festival. All right, Woodsy, let's get to it. Three stories. Be better, sports world. We call it Don't Do This.
When you see Art Briles, the first thing I think of is greasy. He's just a greasy, greasy dude. Like, he's not covered in grease, but he just is greasy. He's creepy, and he always has been. And he's been exiled from college football and pro football. So where do they put him? They put him in Mount Vernon, Texas, in the Mount Vernon Independent School District. He was coaching the Mount Vernon Tigers. Well, he's been reprimanded, may have to forfeit five games, Ben, because, well, he brought in some ineligible players. These two absolute studs just happened to move to his district, and he shoehorned them in, and there's an investigation going on right now. What's the old saying? Because you love old sayings, Ben, more than anybody.
Sayings. Yes.
If you lie with dogs, you're going to get fleas. Is that how it goes?
Yes. Also, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Correct.
Anyone who gives Art Briles a job at this point probably deserves what happens. Now, I don't know that... I think Art Briles' main crime is that he'll do anything to win.
100%.
He will ignore
anything.
Any violation, any crime, any misdeeds by players, alums,
those were
faculty,
some...
anything. He will ignore it all in service of advancing his own career and winning.
Yeah.
There's just no moral standard.
There's no moral compass.
Now, I don't know that he's ever been accused of a crime of doing any of this stuff himself, but he certainly doesn't hold anyone else accountable as long as it helps him and his teams win football games.
Yeah, man. It is. Here we go again. Art Briles now under investigation again. May have to forfeit. Do you really want Art Briles coaching your kid? Because I sure as hell don't.
I do not.
He is a really smart football mind, and he was an up and comer.
By the way, if someone is drummed out of college football, you shouldn't let them go to high school. I mean, if he gets drummed out of high school, you're going to let him go coach
Pop Warner?
No, you should actually get him farther away from children.
Yes,
if you want to let him go, like coach the prison team or something.
100%.
But that's about it for Art Briles at this point. I feel for the city of Oakland, having lived through the threat of relocation for years for the Chargers, then the actual relocation, which was as bad as I had feared it would be. Oakland, of course, is losing their football team. The Raiders going to Las Vegas next year. Their basketball team just moved. I mean, not far, but across the bay to San Francisco. And now Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred is threatening to rip away their baseball team if they don't play ball politically in that city. The A's are trying to get a new stadium. Their plan now involves buying the old stadium and redeveloping that land, but the city of Oakland is saying, hey, hold on, we own half of this, and you know, they filed a lawsuit to kind of stop the sale from the Alameda County, their half of the Coliseum. Manfred says, stop, you got to drop the lawsuit, or we could move the Oakland A's to Las Vegas. And he confirmed, actually, today that he told the mayor, Libby Schaaf, that, yes, I brought up Las Vegas. No, there's no actual plan to move them to Las Vegas. Pretty much, he just used relocation as the old final hammer against a city that's already been battered by it. I hate that. I hate the relocation threat. We've lived through it here. There's nothing worse as a sports fan. But to just throw it out in a meeting without even like a plan behind it, hey, she doesn't do what I want, let's just use the relocation threat
that's
as
not
a negotiating
good,
tool.
It's not a good look for
not good for Rob Manfred.
Commissioner Manfred. I will get us wrapped up here on Ben and Woods. This one sucks. Bad. There's a kid that plays for Penn State. He's actually a captain. His name is Jonathan Sutherland. And he got a letter from an alumni. And it says this: Dear Jonathan, my wife and I are proud older graduates of Penn State. We follow all the teams. I'm going to summarize. Though the athletes of today are certainly superior to those in my day, we miss the clean-cut young men and women from those days. Watching the Idaho game on TV, we couldn't help but notice your, well, awful hair. Surely there must be mirrors in the locker room. Don't you have parents or girlfriends who've told you those shoulder-length dreadlocks look disgusting and are certainly not attractive? We congratulate you on your game against Pitt, but you need to remember you represent all Penn Staters, both current and those alumni from years past. You'll certainly be playing on Sunday in the future, but we have stopped watching due to the disgusting tattoos, awful hair, and immature antics in the end zone. Players should act as though they've been there before, in quotes, for the glory. Dave Peterson. Dave Peterson needs to be whipped with a belt.
Can you include like a $100 bill in there or something? I mean, he's an alum. Aren't you supposed to do that?
He needs to be whipped in the public square with a belt.
Terrible.
I wish I was cool enough to pull off dreadlocks.
100%. 100%. If I could have dreadlocks, there's no doubt I would have them. They would be halfway down my back. They're the most badass thing ever. And this guy, you know what? And props to his coach for coming out and saying this after James Franklin addressed this situation.
Jonathan Sutherland is one of the most respected players in our program. He's the ultimate example of what our program is all about. He's a captain. He's a Dean's List honor student. Amazing. He's confident. He's articulate. He's intelligent. He's thoughtful. He's caring, and he's committed. He's got two of the most supportive parents, and I would be so blessed if my daughters would marry someone with his character and integrity one day.
Wow. Getting choked
up. That's what you want to hear from a coach.
That's what you want to hear from a coach. You guys getting choked up talking about what a good kid
here for somebody like that.
People are going to start liking Penn State again.
Yeah, right?
Sounds like they made a really good hire.
No doubt.
Of James Franklin after the...
I have a buddy that played for him at Vanderbilt. He said, best coach I've
ever had.
The Paterno-Sandusky mess. Sounds like James Franklin is a really good guy to clean things up.
So Peterson, the guy that wrote the letter, was contacted by the Tribune Democrat on Tuesday, refused to back down. He said he just wants Penn State players to cut their hair. He says, quote, I would just like to see the coaches get the guys cleaned up and not looking like Florida State and Miami guys. Bro, It's the most racist thing you could, like, come on. Come on. People are different. This guy wants
You can tell he doesn't understand how racist it is, even.
He has no idea.
He just thinks
that
everyone...
I love that he did clarify. We're from the older crowd.
No S. Really? Are you kidding? Bro, don't
do it. A buzz cut doesn't make you a good person anymore.
Yeah, Mickey Mantle had a buzz cut, and I love Mickey Mantle, but Mickey Mantle is not the world's best human being alive, all right?
All right, we got to keep moving. That was Don't Do This.
That was Don't Do This, presented by Hamul Casino. Winning excitement has a new name, Hamul Casino, San Diego's newest, closest, and most genuinely entertaining place to play. Just 20 minutes from downtown Highway 94 to Campo Road.
And the reason we got to keep moving is we're going to talk some NFL football. We've got Sal Palantonio waiting to join us from ESPN.
Wow.
He was at Washington as the first firing of the season took place. The Eagles had a big win over the Packers last week. He's always dialed up on Philadelphia. It's been too long since we talked to Sal Pal. That is coming up next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Welcome back to Ben and Woods, brought to you by the Golf Mart, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. Just want to remind everybody that 97.3 The Fan invites you to join former Aztecs men's basketball coach Steve Fisher, along with Brian Dutcher and the SDSU men's basketball team, this Saturday for the annual Walk to Defeat ALS. I'm sorry, next Saturday, October 20th, at Mission Bay's De Anza Cove. For more info, just go to ALSASD.com. Org. In fact, that's Sunday. So I got my dates wrong, but it's October 20th. So
that's
there
fine.
You go.
Hey, figured it out.
Got it all set for you. We got Sal Powell from ESPN set to join us. First, let's get a quick check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan from Suda Vincent. All right, let's talk a little NFL football this morning. Joining us here on 97.3 The Fan, our good friend Sal Powell Antonio from ESPN. Sal Powell, it is always great to have you on the air with Ben and Woods. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
So you were in Washington, right, as everything went down? You know, obviously the Redskins losing to the Patriots and then the decision to fire Jay Gruden. I mean, it's always surprising when a head coach gets fired this early in a season, but Jay Gruden has been around for a while. It's not like it was his first year. This was his sixth year. So what did you think of the timing of the decision by Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen?
Well, you know, I think the timing of it was obvious. I think they just had grown tired of one another, and they wanted to move on from Jay Gruden. You know, I don't know whether or not Bill Callahan can quickly fix that team, but based on what I saw, they have real issues on the offensive line. They can't block anybody, and it doesn't matter if Colt McCoy is going to be the quarterback or Mark Rippon. They're gonna have troubles. They're gonna have troubles blocking. Those are not the hogs. Those up front.
Yeah, definitely not. It felt like it was time, and it felt like somebody was going to get the axe. It's not going to be Dan Snyder up there in Washington, but they really take their fair share of grief. But that organization over the last few years has been one of the more poorly run organizations. What do you think they do next? What kind of coach do they need to bring in there to right that ship in Washington?
Well, I think they're going to elevate their young offensive coordinator, and I think they're going to move on to Dwayne Haskins as the starting quarterback. They got to get the young man ready. It's pretty clear in talking to everybody there that he's not. But that's up to the coaching staff to get him ready. When you pick a quarterback 15th overall in the first round, you decided that he was going to be your franchise quarterback. And when you are a team that's in the basement of your division and you change your head coach and you haven't won a game all year and you scored a grand total of 73 points in five games, you got to do something radically different. And that starts with the quarterback position.
Sal, I keep hearing the name Kevin O'Connell being brought up as a possible full-time replacement there in Washington. I will fully admit I am biased here. I've known Kevin for years. I've hosted radio shows with him, former San Diego State quarterback, just phenomenally good guy. Normally, though, offensive coordinators on winless teams are not hot candidates to take over as a head coach somewhere. So what's the thinking here? Do you think that he really is one of the top names on the list in Washington?
Oh, I think he is one of the top names, and for good reason. He's a smart guy. He sleeps, breathes, and eats football. He has not called plays, I don't think, at the NFL level anywhere, so Gruden was calling the plays. But what you're doing is you're essentially trusting the future to a young, inexperienced head coach and a young, inexperienced quarterback in a town that is tired of losing in a division that's extraordinarily competitive. If you're going to do that, you have to be able to say, okay, this is what we're doing, and this is why we're doing it, and we think that this is going to fix things, and it's going to fix things quickly. The last part of that, I think, is going to be tough to convince your fan base of.
We're Padre fans.
Kind of sounds like Jace Tingler coming to the Padres, perhaps.
Yeah, we know all about that. We're talking to the great Sal Powell Antonio from ESPN here on Ben and Woods. So your beloved Eagles, the team that you know more about and cover probably more than anybody else, they've got a really rough road ahead of them. They're sitting at 3-2 right now, and I know they can look back at a couple of games that they feel that they should have won. You know,
holy cow, I'm looking at the schedule.
Oh my God, it's crazy. So you lost to the Falcons, which now looks even worse because the Falcons are playing terribly. You lost to the Lions, but you righted the ship against the Packers, and you went out and did what you needed to do against the Jets. But yeah, Vikings, Cowboys, Bills, Bears, Patriots, Seahawks, it gets really, really tough for the Eagles right now. How are they looking, in your opinion?
They are trying to come back from decimating injuries in the secondary, and they're trying to make sure that their young quarterback, Carson Wentz, makes it to a 16-game season. So let's take it one specific matchup at a time. As you know, I host the matchup show.
Yes, you do.
And the game is about matchups. So let's take them one at a time. You got to go into Minneapolis. Minneapolis is now getting a little chesty about the fact that they can run the ball. The Eagles are a good to great run defense. They proved that on a short week going in and beating Green Bay. This team has developed a good road mentality. And I actually think that if they do a good job against Mike Zimmer's run offense, that they'll be able to frustrate Kirk Cousins. Now, Kirk Cousins came in to Philadelphia and has had really good success both in a Washington Redskins uniform and a Minnesota Vikings uniform against Jim Schwartz's defense. So I think that's a super tall order for them. Then Dallas on the road. It's pretty obvious that you can play man defense against the Dallas Cowboys offense and have some success. I think they're going through some growing pains of trying to figure out, okay, how much are we going to invest this offense in Zeke Elliott, or how much are we going to invest in Dak Prescott getting the ball to Jason Witten? But to me, you know, again, if you can stop Elliott and get after Dak Prescott, you can have some success. So that's one and two. Three, Buffalo has a defense that I think is for real. See, I think it's important for people to understand that going into week six, that everybody is imitating what Bill Belichick is doing. The Colts, the Lions, to a certain extent, the Eagles. And when I say everybody, there are some exceptions, and those exceptions have been unsuccessful. And what Belichick is doing is showing multiple fronts with man coverage behind it. That's what Matt Patricia is doing in Detroit. That's what Frank Reich and the Colts did against the Kansas City Chiefs. It is a copycat league, and going into week six, teams are using man coverage. Why are they using man coverage? Because the ball is coming out of the quarterback's hands much more quickly than it has in the past. It is now to the point where you have, I'm going to go down the list here because I just had this printed out for me, and this is important for people to listen to. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You got 19 starting quarterbacks getting the ball out of their hands in less than 2.7 seconds. That's phenomenal. That's unbelievable. Brady's the best at 2.56. Jimmy Garoppolo, a Brady acolyte, is at 2.59. They are the best 1 and 2 in the AFC and the NFC, respectively. So when you're getting the ball out of your hands so quickly, what's the best way to thwart that? Play man coverage. Make sure the wide receivers are covered for at least 2.7 to 2.9 seconds and make sure that your rush can get home. And that's what Belichick is doing, Patricia's doing, you're seeing Jim Schwartz doing it more and more, Mike Zimmer's doing it in Minneapolis more and more, and that's right now what's in vogue.
You know, Sal, if I were an NFL quarterback, I'd have that thing out in a second and a half. I wouldn't complete any passes, but it would be gone very quickly.
Very quickly,
yeah,
release,
and that's the key, right? So you look at Brady. He's number one in snap to release time in the AFC, and he's last in the league in quarterback hits taken. He's only been hit 9 times in 5 games. 9. His contact rate is 4.3%. 4.3% of the time that he drops back, he gets hit. Lamar Jackson, it's 25%. Do the math. If you're 42 or 55 or 63 and you're playing quarterback, get the ball out of your hands quickly. Don't get hit and survive to another down, another play, another game. And I think that that's the formula that the Patriots are using. Their offense is not great. Their defense has played some lousy teams, but they have a formula for success week in and week out, and it's really working.
If you are a Philly fan and you haven't read it yet, I'm sure you have, but don't forget, Sal Powell wrote the book on the Eagles Super Bowl title. It's called Philly Special, the inside story of how the Philadelphia Eagles won their first Super Bowl championship. Still available on Amazon and elsewhere. Sal Powell, it's always great chatting with you. We'll keep an eye out for the where are we going to see you this week matchup show and beyond covering the NFL.
Yeah, we'll be at the matchup show. Is you know, I really would like to thank you guys for helping support the show. We've had a number one rated shows ever in 30-year history of the program.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Big San Diego contingent.
You've also
sure.
helped us to our best ratings ever, Sal.
Exactly.
So we thank you for that,
exactly.
too.
Thanks, guys.
People helping people.
Sal is awesome. We love Sal Palantonio from ESPN. Always a favorite of Ben and Woods.
No doubt.
Woodsy, I wanted to, I don't know if you saw this. I don't want to get too bogged down in local city politics,
but we
have, we're getting a little closer to a final solution in Mission Valley.
Uh-huh.
So yesterday, the, valuation of the land, the Mission Valley,
yes.
the land under SDCCU Stadium came out, and there was a bit of a controversy
Weird.
Between what the city thinks the value of the land should be and what San Diego State should have to pay for it and what SDSU thinks
sure.
they should have to pay for it.
That's to be expected.
Yeah, this is not a giant shock that when you have a massive piece of land that's going to be worth tens of millions of dollars, that the person buying it's going to want to pay a lower price than the person who is selling it wants to get. You ever sold your house? It, you know, hey, this is my house. I want $1 million for it. And someone comes up and
they give you 600 grand.
600 grand. It's like, yeah, it's always worth less to the person who's trying to buy it than the person who's trying to sell it. In this case, though, there's a couple of specific areas that are in dispute. I think the valuation that came out from the SDSU perspective was $68 million. For the land to buy it, and then they can develop it and build their own stadium down there. But the city says, oh, no, we think the total should be $86 million. And the difference between the two is that SDSU wants a credit. They basically want a little bit knocked off the price for what they have to spend to tear down Qualcomm Stadium
sure.
or SDCCU Stadium. We don't want it there. Hey, if we're buying a piece of land, normally you buy a house, you know, a piece of plot, you know, and you don't want the house. You're not going to be paying a whole bunch for the house. You just want the land.
Right.
So you're really valuing the land. The house is an annoyance. It's like, hey, I'd pay more if you would just get rid of this house.
Right.
But since it's there and I have to pay to knock it down, I want to take a little bit off of the price overall. They also say, hey, we should take a little off the price for the river park that we're going to have to maintain. That's, you know, that's not usable land. We're going to be obligated to maintain this. So that devalues what we want to pay for. Again, if you had to... you know, if you had an area of the backyard that you didn't really want, but you were going to have to maintain, that would lower the price if you were buying a house.
Right.
So I understand SDSU's perspective here, Woods. But in the measure, the SDSU West measure, Measure C, the one that we all voted on, remember?
Yeah, I do.
It said that SDSU was going to be responsible for demolition of the stadium and the river park. So I don't really think that they can come back now and say, hey, we should get a discount for all those things. You committed to that. A dollar is a dollar. Whether the city gets less for the land or San Diego State pays for it later, it's a dollar is worth a dollar no matter whether it's a discount of a price or you find a dollar on the street. That's, you know, money is money. That's one thing that I've always learned about economics, that if you are charged $9 instead of $10 for a burger, you're saving a dollar just as much as you found one right on the street.
Sure.
So SDSU wants to save all this money by not being, you know, by getting a discount on the price for things that they should be responsible for
and,
that they said they were going to be responsible for.
Yeah. Well, and so what is the is this just going to be another further delay?
Well, yeah.
Or?
This is the question. It depending on how long it takes. Honestly, it doesn't feel like they're that far apart.
Right.
We're talking about a overall plan, a stadium that's probably going to cost $250, $300 million when all is said and done. The outlying development, which is going to be even more, you know, $18 million is not something that you should probably end up with years and years of delays over. It sounds like there's probably a middle ground where they're going to be able to hopefully get this done and move forward and, you know, get construction started. SDSU has a timeline. They'd like to get their stadium built in time. I think was it for the very ambitious date of the start of the 2022 college football season?
Yeah.
That's That's less than 3 years away, and yet they still don't have the land purchased.
Oh, God.
They have to, you know, start tearing down, although they can build a stadium while
they're doing
it. Because they're going to play in SDCCU Stadium while they're building the new stadium next door. So I guess it's still possible. I've never totally bought into the 2022 timeline. But, you know, I do think that you know that there was going to be some disputes.
Sure.
Anytime you're dealing with this much money. $18 million is $18
million. And in this town.
Even in a project that ends up costing, you know, half a billion or more, it's not like $18 million is nothing. You know, you want to make sure every penny is accounted for in a big project like that, whether you're SDSU or the city. So we just got that yesterday. Expect that we will hear more about that in the coming months as they try to hammer out a final sale price and SDSU can start the process that they promised of building a stadium and creating a West Campus and a River Park and everything else that goes into what they promised when they won that election.
So we got that yesterday, you said.
Yeah, that's when the valuation finally came in.
Do you know what else we got yesterday?
No, what else did we get?
We got a video of our assistant producer,
I'm so glad
Hammer.
You went.
Oh, I'm glad. Okay.
Yeah, because it's been 3 hours and we haven't brought it back, and that irks me to no end because people that heard it at 5, if you're still listening, you're going to want to hear it again. And if you missed it, my God. Apparently, Hammer gets off work yesterday and decides he's got the day off from Nordstrom's and goes and has a blowout at home by himself. A little concerning. But he filmed it. And we've got the audio. We've got the video. We've tweeted it. We're going to replay it for you again. Is that Hammer, you good with that?
Yes. A little more prime time, because I think the first time you played it, I wasn't
five. Yeah, it was 5 a.m.
So this is a bit more of a...
Love it!
Yeah, a little prime time listening audience that's going to get Hammer's...
It's
first and foremost.
Unfiltered. Unfiltered Hammer is coming up. I also...
Strap in.
I also was planning today to discuss our dark horse candidates for manager of the Padres.
Let's do that. Also,
The Padres kind of upstaged me last night with
the
rumors
the
that were coming out.
Is Jace Tingler
about Jace Tingler? Because no one is a darker horse than the guy you've never heard of.
Correct.
Until yesterday. So that kind of threw that whole topic on its ear a little bit. I think there's still some room for us to get into the names that are a little more fringe, but you think could work as Padres manager.
And also, I mean, how do the fans react when they hear a name like Jace Tingler?
Yeah, we always like open up the phone lines in our final hour so we can do that. 833-288-0973. Hammer's video, Padres manager. It's all coming up next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.